is terrible.
Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa atubu ilayhi wa atubu wa ashhadu muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. I noticed, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I noticed some are still coming in, mashallah, but we didn't want to start till everybody got here. So if anybody's not here yet,
raise
your
hand.
I told you I'm still here. All right. My name is Yusuf. Can you say Yusuf? They get it right on the first time. You know, all these years, my father-in-law, he still says useless. Could be a speech impediment, I don't know. But anyhow, we want to get started tonight. And the subject we want to talk about, is there a God? Is there a God?
Yes.
And if there's a God, how do you know? Is there any proof? Or is it just something that like gut feeling for it or something? No. And along the way, myself, Dr. Muhammad Salah, will be dealing with this subject. And another subject that we have is the one about why, if there is a God, why did He create everything? Why did He create us? Do we have a purpose? And if so, what is it? So this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. And along the way, I thought it would be a good idea to get response from you guys. At the end, you'll have a chance for question and answers. But as we go along, you know, maybe we'll be asking you something. And I'll start out by asking, does anybody here right now believe there's a God? Raise your hand. Whoa, look at that. Well, is there anybody here that thinks there really isn't one? Raise your hand. If you think there really is not one. Okay. By the way, another thing is we're Muslims. Did you know that? And so we'll be bringing this from the Islamic perspective. And is there any Muslims here today? Let's raise your hand if you're a Muslim. Whoa. Is anybody here that is not a Muslim? How do you like being surrounded by all these terrorists? That slipped. That slip. And boys don't wear slips. So anyhow, we'll get back to our topic at hand. And to get it started off, I thought I'd mention something that I heard some years ago about Dr. Albert Einstein. And they tell me that he was in those days, you know, this is a long time ago, that he used to travel by vehicle everywhere. He didn't want to fly in those newfangled things called airplanes. So as they would travel along, the driver, he had the same driver taking him to all these places, you know, they came to know each other pretty well. And they said that he would give this same talk on physics or whatever it was, his topic, and he would give the same talk over and over. Wherever they drove to, he would give this exact same talk. It's never different. And so much so that one time as they were driving along, the driver was tired, so he started talking to keep himself awake. And he recited the entire speech of the doctor, Einstein. He said, you just recited, I didn't realize you knew so much. He said, I don't. I just recite the same speech that you do. He said, I can't believe it. He said, except for the questions and answers, you got everything going. He said, are you joking? Ask me any question. And he asked him questions, he gave the answers. He said, now I'm sure you know. He said, no, because they only ask you the same questions. I'm just giving the same answers. I don't know even what I'm saying. So when they arrived at the next place, just before they got there, he said, stop the car. You get back here. Let me sit up there. Give me your cap. So when they pulled in up there, he said, I don't like giving these speeches anyway. You go give the speech. Okay. They introduced the people back then. They didn't have, you know, like we have the videos today where you can see what somebody looks like. He got up and gave the speech from the beginning to the end. And the people said, whoa, look at this. Amazing. You know? So, huh? Then they went to the questions and answers. Right to the middle, all the way to the end. Right to the end. And just as they were about to go, this one lady, she stood up. She said, sir, I have a question. And then And she asked a question that nobody had ever asked before. Now look at this driver. It must have been a New York taxi driver, actually, because guess what he did? He said, "Madam, that is a very stupid question. As a matter of fact, just to show you how really simple that question is, I'm going to let my driver answer it." And with that, I would like to now...
That's an awful introduction.
...over to my driver, Dr. Mohammed Salah.
I definitely knew what he was up to.
You knew that was coming, right?
Okay, Einstein. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is the driver. I'm sorry. Muhammad Salah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidi al-awalina wa al-akhirina sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise due to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his last messenger. I'd like to begin with an invocation. It has been recited by Prophet Moses when Allah the Almighty appointed him to go to the Pharaoh to preach him about his oneness. So Prophet Moses invoked Allah as follows. He said, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدِرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. And this is a beautiful invocation that Allah taught him, which means, my Lord, expand my chest, اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي, and ease my matter, my mission, make it easy for me to accomplish, and untie a knot of my tongue so that they may understand my speech. There are many, many barriers between humans. It is not the least of them that the language barrier, but definitely the biggest is a psychological barrier. So when you say, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make my speech understood, and I hope it is coming from the heart in order to find its way to your hearts, brothers and sisters. I hope that you do not expect me to pass not even 10% of his jokes. Nobody can beat him. So I do the hard job and he does the fun job. I understand that's a phone ring. If we can just make sure that our phones are off or at least silent, that would be appreciated. Belief. When I say belief, it could be any belief, because even when somebody does not believe in God, does not believe in His presence, does not believe that we have been created by one Creator, who's magnificent, who's able to do all things, he says, I believe that there is no God. So he says, I believe. So everybody, whether his belief is right or wrong, they believe. But today, we will address the correct belief from an Islamic perspective. Because Allah the Almighty informed us in the Quran that the ultimate truth is what has been laid down clearly in this book. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And since the book is not only addressing Muslims, nor is it only addressing Arab, you will find wonders in it. It will be addressing atheists, agnostics, Christians, Jews, fire worshippers, those who believe in anything, or those who do not believe in God to begin with. The Quran has a very unique methodology in handling these issues. It relies on, number one, logic and reasoning. Number two, laying down the foundation based on the knowledge of the unseen. And I will explain that right now. So when we're going to discuss right now whether there is a God or not, even though 100% of the audience at the Shaykh just inquired in the beginning, everybody believes that there has to be a God. But there are some of the audience who do not believe that the Muslim's God is the same God of Christianity or any other religion. So we'll come into that as well. In monotheism, which means to worship only one God, one creator, there are three stages. And you cannot be truly a monotheistic person unless if you achieve and accomplish the three categories of that belief. The first one of them, which is the most important foundation, is to recognize whether there is God or not. There is creator or not. And the second is to recognize that the creator is one and not more than one. And that also will be proved in the Quran from both logical perspective and based on the knowledge of the unseen. And the third stage is, since we recognize that God is one, is not more than one, and the first stage was that He exists and He is the only creator, then what you're supposed to do towards Him, what are His traits, and is there any similarity between the creator and the creatures or the creation or not? So the three stages are inseparable from each other. One would lead to the second, and the first and the second would lead to the third. And once you comprehend the three stages, now you are a true believer. You are a monotheistic person who believes in the oneness of the Creator. Let's see how the Quran proved through reasoning and logic that there has to be God. There is no other choice or option. In chapter number 56, Allah the Almighty says, نَحْنُ خَلَقَنَاكُمْ فَلَوْلَا تُصَدِّقُونَ. He says, I created you. Will you not then believe? What's your proof? His proof is, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ. Have you seen your mani? The mani here is referring to the sexual secretion, sexual discharge, which would lead to whenever a male and a female have an intimate relationship, maybe that would lead to conception. Who created that? Who created the viscid excretion from the male and the female, which you call it in Arabic, al-mani? The sperm for a male and the eggs for a female. Who created that? So he's asking questions which have only one answer. It cannot be just created haphazardly without a creator. Then the second question, and I'm not going to present his answers in the Quran, rather I will just present the questions. The second, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. Have you seen what you guys plant? Is it really that you who planted those plants, fruits and vegetations, and you made them grow up? Or me? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says we, that refers to the royal we. But He is singular. He is the only one. Is it you who really planted it? Or we? If it is you, why sometimes the people and the farmers sow the seed and they water the plants and still they do not grow? Who created that? That's a rhetorical question, needs an answer. And the third is, what about the water which you guys drink and you irrigate your fields with? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. Who sent it down from the clouds? Who formed the clouds in the first place? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. He said, by the way, if we will, the royal we, I can make it salty so that you will never be able to drink it. But I made it fresh and palatable for you to drink. Then the fourth question is, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ النَّارَ الَّتِي تُوْقِدُونَ. Have you seen the fire which you guys kindle? I just knew on the way that Sheikh Yusuf Estes was a Boy Scout leader. By the way, I didn't tell you I was too. I just knew on the way that Sheikh Yusuf Estes was a Boy Scout leader. By the way, I didn't tell you I was too. You know that in Boy Scouts we learn how to strike two pieces of wood together to kindle fire. From what? Yes. And that wood of particular trees is still moist, but it can kindle fire by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who created that? Who created fire for you as a source of warmth, as a source of cooking and shaving your goals? And who created that? You have to have an answer for all those important questions. The answer, perhaps, I can walk you through. I will consider that we have some people who do not believe in the presence of God, and I'm going to present this question. As I was landing and on the way from the airport to the hotel, I noticed that, and I told my company, the biggest and the hugest poles I have ever seen are in Hong Kong. Perhaps there are others, but it was very noticeable, right? He said, yes, it's very famous with shipping. What if I tell you right now that a ship that was loaded with containers, fresh fruits and vegetables, electronics and all of that, and it sailed by itself without a single sailor on it, without a navigation system, without remote controller, it just went by itself. It dropped its load in Cairo, Egypt. Then it returned back to its original base. Somebody will say, without any person on board, without anybody to control it? I say yes. Is that possible? Yes or no?
No.
You sure? It is not possible. It is definitely impossible. So, why for a ship? It is impossible for you to think that it can sail by itself, load itself by itself, land by itself, empty its load by itself, and returns back to its base by itself without any guard or controller. Why is it easy for you to believe that there is no creator, there is no God, and it is impossible for you to believe that for a ship it can do that, all of that by itself? Because it doesn't make sense. One of the great companions of Prophet Muhammad by the name Al-Imam Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and he was his son-in-law as well, was asked by a Bedouin the question. If it is presented by a certain kind of people, you have to give them an answer that suits their understanding. The Bedouin said, hey man, you guys believe in God. Would you tell me a single proof that God does exist? He said, "Da al-ba'ratu tadullu ala al-ba'ir, wal-atharu yadullu ala al-masir." And we'll stop with this right now. Al-ba'ra is the animal dung. You know, the Bedouins are very, very famous of their intelligence and magnificent experience in finding out. They would just pick up a dry animal dung and they would rub it between their fingers and they would tell, this is an animal dung that belongs to a camel. And not just a camel, it's a he or she camel. And how old is that camel? And what did this camel have been eating? And where did it go? Because if it ate, for instance, dates, or the seeds of the dates, they rub the remains and they can tell, these dates belong to this neighborhood, to this field, and they can distinguish between them based on that. All of that from examining the animal dung. So this is similar to forensic evidence, but 1400 years ago. And furthermore, they are the most and the best expertise when it comes to recognizing the nature of the person from his or her footprint. So I said, when you see a footprint in the desert, again is the sand, what would you say? Say, somebody happened to be here and it's a male or a female, and they can determine even the way from the impression. So he said to him that, how come that when you see an animal dung, you say, there's got to be an animal walk in this area. And when you see a footprint, you can determine and you can be certain that there is a human being or an animal, male or female, have walked in this area. When this beautiful heavens around you, and the earth that spread, and the mountains, and the rivers, and the seas, and this magnificent creation, are in all of that enough indication that there's got to be a creator for all of that? Allah the Almighty in chapter number 52 reasons. One of the greatest enemies of Islam happened to be captured by Muslims. And he was in Medina, the city of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Prophet was leading the prayer. And he happened to recite these verses of chapter number 52, verses number 34 and 35. I'm pretty sure that you will be more than happy to give you a free copy of the Quran, and you can examine those verses. What does the or the what do the verses say? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون أم خلقوا السماوات والأرض بل لا يوقنون أم عندهم خزائن ربك أم هم المسيطرون. We've got three questions. This guy, who's an enemy of Islam, who was an idolater, once heard these questions presented in those verses, could not but accept faith. He says, فَكَانَ ذَلِكَ أَوَّلُ مَا وَقَعَ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قَلْبِ. For the very first time he recognized the truth, when he heard those verses recited by the Prophet. What do they mean? Question number one, in verse number 34. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Have they been created without a creator? We just agreed that it is impossible for the ship to go from point A to B without any single sailor on board. Right? So if there is a creation, there's got to be a creator. Can you imagine yourself every day somebody is putting a basket of fruits and another one of flowers by your door, and you just open the door, you pick it up, you enjoy eating the fresh fruits and smelling the beautiful roses, and you never bother to ask who put the basket before your door. One day before I got married, somebody did me a favor. He knew that I was not that rich, so he knew I was about to get married and I would never accept cash as a gift from anybody. So he put a great amount of money in dollars in a regular envelope without writing the name and the address of the sender. Then he sent it to me. So when I opened my mailbox, I found the envelope. I opened it and there was a lot of cash in it. Till today, I'm going crazy. I want to know who did it. And it was just single time, perhaps to ask him to do it more often. But I'm trying to imitate him. But I cannot imagine that that is happening on a regular basis, and I would not even bother to ask, who did it? It is impossible. There has got to be somebody who put the basket there. There has got to be somebody who's providing. There has to be. Can you imagine we're eating and we're drinking and we're living and we're having fun and we're enjoying countless blessings? It is indeed countless blessings. And somebody says, well, it all happened by accident. Happened by accident. It is impossible. And that's why Allah the Almighty in two places in the Quran tells us that. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you ever try to count Allah's blessings, God's blessings upon you, never will you be able to estimate them. Why? Because they are beyond count. This is have been repeated twice. But the ending of the two verses is different. In one verse says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Very. Mankind is ever wrongdoer and ungrateful. Because we cannot meet the unlimited, the countless blessings of God with enough gratitude. To the extent that some deny His existence to begin with. We do not think that those gifts happen to be gifted to us by somebody, by Creator. Then the second verse ends with the following. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. If you ever try to count Allah's blessings upon you, never will you be able to keep estimate. And guess what? Indeed, Allah is the oft-forgiving, the most merciful. Because if He meets our ungratefulness and our disbelief with immediate punishment and revenge, there would not be a single human being living today. But He's giving us respite. And He's sending to us messengers and descending books and give us signs after signs. Maybe, some of us would recognize His presence, would recognize His Lordship, would believe in His oneness, in His unity of worship, and will say, thank you, God. And guess what? One of the blessings, which we can never estimate nor give enough gratitude for, is breathing. This is one thing that we need 24/7. You cannot stop breathing for 3 minutes. You're dead. So we're in need for this gift 24/7. There is a very interesting story about Prophet Solomon. You all know Prophet Solomon, peace be upon him. God gave him the power of controlling the jinn and communicating with the birds before this American movie, The Doctor Who Used to Talk to Animals. The Prophet Solomon actually used to understand the language of animals, insects, birds, and fish, and all of that. So once he grabbed hold of an ant, and he asked the ant, how much food would be sufficient for you for an entire year? It said, I normally consume one single wheat grain. So he put it in a container, and he put the wheat grain with it. Then a year later, he came to check on it. He took it out, and he noticed the following. She did not finish the entire wheat grain. Rather, she only ate half of it, and the other half was sitting there. So he said to the ant, you're a liar. Why did you lie to me? You're greedy. He said, why? He said, because when I asked you, you said you normally consume a whole wheat grain, and you only consumed half of it. Why did you ask for more than what you deserve? So the ant replied, well, this is what I normally use or consume per year. Habba, one single grain. But that was when my provision was due on my God. But when you took control of me and you locked me in the container, I was afraid that you're going to forget about me. So I economized my usage, my consumption. So I save from every meal half of it. Perhaps that you might forget about me. At least I would have some in the storage. Can you imagine if God stops His supply for one moment? What will happen? Chaos. Mass destruction. The most advanced country on earth is which country? America? Okay. 90 plus days, the entire world has failed to stop the oil leak. The oil leak. And it cost them billions and billions of dollars, and it killed hundreds of thousands of creatures and species. Can you imagine just some oil leak? Human beings are very weak, vulnerable, and fragile. When do they become strong and powerful? When they put their trust in their Creator, when they recognize Him, when they turn to Him and ask from Him, so He delivers. human beings are very weak, vulnerable and fragile. When do they become strong and powerful? When they put their trust in their Creator. When they recognize Him. When they turn to Him and ask from Him, so He delivers. So He delivers. As Prophet Abraham quoted in the Quran in chapter Ash-Shu'ara, said, "My Lord is the one who feeds me, is the one who cures me when I get sick, is the one who answers my invocation whenever I ask Him. Other than that, is not a Lord." Now, we move to the next stage, which is, who is this God? Have there been anyone who's competing in the Lordship with God? Yes. Throughout the history, there are some humans, creatures, who claimed that He is God. Besides God, or He is the only God. Such as the Pharaoh of Egypt, or the Pharaoh of Prophet Abraham. The Pharaoh whom Prophet Abraham debated with claimed that, "I am the Lord. I am the Creator." So Prophet Abraham debated with him and said, No, you're not. You're a human being like myself and yourself. If you eat a spoiled food, you can just get some diarrhea and you spend the rest of the day in the bathroom. There is no way that you can be a God. He said, Prophet Abraham said, "My God is the one who gives life and death." One of the most prominent traits of God, that He gives life and death. So the Pharaoh said, "And I too give life and death." He said, "How is that?" He said, "Well, he got some prisoner. He was supposed to be executed and he said, 'Go home, you're free.' He said, 'Look, I give him life.' And he got an innocent person and he killed him and said, 'Look, I can give death as well.' If giving life and death is the characteristic of God, then I'm God. I give life and death." When Prophet Abraham realized that he's debating with an idiot, he shot him with the following one. He said, "Well, since you do not get it, my God is the one who brings the sun every day from the east. Can you bring it once from the west? Just once." فَوَهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. So he was utterly defeated. Now, for those who challenged God in His Lordship and claimed falsely that there are gods besides Him or instead of Him, this person, God the Almighty punished him with such humiliation that suited his claim. How? He sent a small fly that entered from his nose into the brain, and it sat in the brain. And every time Allah wanted to torture him, the fly would make a move. And he would go nuts. A fly in the brain? So that he would not come unless if they beat him over his head with the shoes. This is one who claimed that he's God. He would not feel comfortable unless if he's beaten over his head with the shoes of his servant. This is one of the means that Allah shows us. What can He do to us? Allah Almighty says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. To Allah belongs the host of the earth and the heavens. And no one knows about His host but Him. Can you imagine? A small tiny virus, in order to see it, you need an electronic microscope. Put the entire world on high alert. Prevented people from flying, from socializing, from visiting, from having a wedding party, the swine flu last year. This is a virus, the malaria from a mosquito. Allah can destroy the entire existence of this earth and every human being and animal through a fly or a mosquito. One have to recognize the greatness of the Creator and have to recognize how small and insignificant are us as creatures compared to Allah the Creator. And if this is the case, then we have to turn to Him with the proper gratitude. Bow down to Him, acknowledging His oneness, acknowledging His Lordship, fulfilling what He wants from us. That will take us to the next stage, which is the unity of We talked about two categories, the unity of Lordship, and we proved logically and from the Quran, there has to be God. And the second, that if we really recognize His presence and He is the only Creator, then we have to pay Him His due thanks as much as we can. And since we cannot, Allah the Almighty said, for giving thanks and acknowledging the fact that I am the one who bestowed whatever I bestowed upon you, that by itself is sufficient. That by itself is sufficient. Prophet Muhammad informed us about a man who worshipped God on top of a mountain for 60 years. Did not commit a single sin in his life. He was a devout worshipper. He recognized His oneness. He bowed down to Him. He praised Him. And he did not commit a single sin. Then when he died, Allah the Almighty said to the angels of mercy, take the soul of my servant to paradise by my mercy. So the servant debated with God and said, no, wait a minute. I shall enter paradise by my good deeds, by 60 years of worship, not by your mercy. I worked hard for it. Allah the Almighty said, no, but by my mercy. And the servant insists, no, because of my deeds. So Allah the Almighty said, well, then weigh his good deeds for 60 years against just one of the blessings that I bestowed upon him, such as the eyesight, such as the sight. So they were put together against each other. And the blessing of the sight being able to see outweighed the worship and the good deeds of 60 years. He said, well, you are not able to give enough thanks for one gift. What about the rest? What about the rest? You know, that's why Prophet Muhammad says, every human being has 360 joints. You know, even the skull have joints, which we call it in anatomy, sutures. And that's why when somebody gets hit in his head, the sutures will glide against each other in order to protect the brain from any brain concussion. That's mercy from God. So he said, those joints through which we're able to do everything, stand up and sit down and play sports and whatever we want to do, we do. If somebody has herniated disc, he cannot stand, he cannot sit down, he cannot sleep, and his life is miserable. So we have 360 joints that enable us for free mobility. So Prophet Muhammad said, every morning we should thank God for this great blessing by giving thanks and praising Him for the 360 joints. And since it is too much for us to remember to give thanks 360 times every morning and say, thank you God, thank you God, thank you God, it would be sufficient to pray two rak'ahs in the morning. Offer one single prayer in the morning that will pay as gratitude or thanks for this great blessing of the joints and the free mobility. Now, I will just give you a reference of a few verses of chapter number 60. Whether you are a Muslim or not, you have to look at those verses. And I bet you, if you are not a Muslim, you would accept Islam immediately after reading those verses. It is chapter number 60, beginning with verse number 72. And I bet you, once you start reading, I'm not going to give you 72 through what? Because I bet you will go throughout the entire Quran. You know what? If we do not recognize our Lord in this life, then we will be the greatest losers. Because this life is short and brief, and it's a big test. We have to prepare for it. If anybody wants to go to medical school, they have to study hard. They have to work for it. You will not just be a doctor simply by contemplating the idea and by wishing to be an MD or an engineer or a lawyer. Right? You have to work for it. The most worthy thing to exert an effort and investigate it is recognize who is the Creator. Similar to what I said about, I wish before I die, I will find out who sent me the envelope or the mail that contained the cash in it. I would love to. So we have constant blessings keep pouring on us. We have to find out who is the one who's sending us those gifts, and we have to tell him
Thank you. You yourself, if one day you bought a scooter or a PlayStation 3 for your son, and he just opens the gift wrap and he runs away with it and he does not even say, thank you, Dad. Instead, he goes to his mom and he kisses her and says, thank you, Mom. Excuse me. I paid for it. He doesn't even recognize your presence. I'm the one who handed it over to you. So wouldn't you think that next time you will be hesitant to buy him a gift, even though he is your son? Right? So if, as a human being, you feel very angry towards any person, if that person, even if that person is your son, you feel very angry against him if he does not give you thanks for any favor you do to him. Is it fair that we enjoy his blessings day and night, 24/7, constantly and consistently, non-stop, without even recognizing his presence? Without saying, you know, when I had a debate with a French atheist who's very intelligent, he ended up telling me, Muhammad, you really affected me. And he sent me a beautiful email. He said, if I ever consider any religion, I've got to be a Muslim. In just a couple of hours. Why? Because it makes sense. Another agnostic, I got to know him. Then I asked him to discuss this issue with him. He said, look, Muhammad, I'm not willing to discuss this matter with you. I said, why not? He said, because you're convincing. I said, no, this is not the case. Because you're a fool. You don't want to understand the truth. I'm sorry, but I'm telling that particular person. A person may be an atheist because his studies led to that. He studied philosophy or science, even though science definitely leads to Islam. Even if you study philosophy properly and you're fair and balanced, you will still recognize his presence. And you will not recognize his lordship. You will not recognize his unity of worship. And the last stage, so that I will give the panel to Sheikh Yusuf, inshaAllah, which is, since we believe in God and His presence, and we have to thank Him through worshiping Him, and He sent to us prophets and messengers, and He taught us exactly what's needed from us in order to say, thank you, God, then we have to know some info about Him. Who is He? I want to see Him. I want to see Him. Oh, you cannot see Him in this life. Which is, since we believe in God and His presence, and we have to thank Him through worshiping Him, and He sent to us prophets and messengers, and He taught us exactly what's needed from us in order to say, thank you, God, then we have to know some info about Him. Who is He? I want to see Him. I want to see Him. Oh, you cannot see Him in this life. Why not? You know why not? Because even in our worldly life, there are certain things in certain areas where human beings cannot reach. You know, with regards to this oil spill, they cannot send a human being or a ship or an underwater, marine, submarine or whatever. Why? Because anything cannot reach the depth, 1 mile underground. It will explode. And a human being cannot survive down there. Subhanallah. Why? Because we have limited capacities. I can only see you, but if somebody is making holes behind me, I cannot see him because I can only see in front of me. And I can only hear one person at a time. I cannot hear every 3-4 people and understand them at the same time. So our mind and understanding is limited because God created us this way. So He's beyond encompassing, so He allowed us to know about Him through Him and without seeing Him. But for those who believe in Him, Allah will enable them on the Day of Judgment with a special power to get to see Him, and that is the greatest reward and delight ever, to get to see Allah. In addition to being in heaven, the greatest of all is to get to see your Creator, to be beloved by Him. So, with regards to Him, He said in one single chapter in the Quran, If you understand it and you believe in it, then you are monotheistic. You are a believer, a true believer. The chapter says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ What does it mean? God is one. He begets not, nor was He begotten. He is an eternal. He is a self-sufficient. He is the provider. Everybody are His dependent. And He is the only independent. He begets not, nor was He begotten. And no one is ever comparable to Him, nor equivalent to Him. You cannot say, yeah, God is like so and so, or such and such. Not even in your dreams. Why? Because you have not seen Him. You know, in scientific fiction movies, whenever they tell us about aliens and so on, I'm sure that most of you have at least watched some of those movies. Have you ever seen an alien in reality?
No.
But when I say an alien, right away your mind must go to one of those movies which you've been watching. Right? Hollywood movies. So, can you think of any alien that you have seen? In Star Wars or whatever. Can you think of any alien? Huh? Can any person tell me, how did an alien in a movie look like?
Green.
Huh?
Green.
So, by the end, the structure of a human being. Two hands, two eyes, nose, maybe they will install horns for him, for her. They will deepen his voice. But he does still speak English though. Okay? So, our mind, when it comes to imagining anything, forming an image of anything that we have not seen, still it will relate to something that we can visualize. So an alien, no matter how much they alter the original image, it is still relating to humans, human beings. But Allah is unlike any of that. No one was able to visualize Him because of His magnificent power and being. But He promised that for those who believe in Him, in heaven they will get to see Him. So He hears, but His hearing is not like ours. His hearing is the most powerful. He says, even if there is a secret council of two, He is the third. Of four, He is the fifth, and so forth. No more nor less, but He's within with His infinite knowledge. He sees. He sees what you do even behind closed doors. Why there is no security cameras, nor ultraviolet rays or anything, He still sees you in the darkness and behind closed doors, and He knows what's going on. So you cannot escape away from Him. Nor can you hide from Him. So recognizing those unique traits of God will make you definitely better worship Him. Because you recognize whom are you dealing with. You're not dealing with a human being like you, or a genius person. You're dealing with your Creator. And that's why when one of the righteous people was preaching a sinner, and said, I cannot just quit committing sins. He said, well, if you want to commit sins as much as you want, you got to make sure that you hide from God so that He cannot see you. You say, what? Where? He sees everywhere. He's with me wherever I go. He said, then if you know that, then you cannot disobey Him. And by the way, if you want to commit sin, make sure that you commit the sins, but not on His property, not on His land. He said, well, everything belongs to Him, not under His sky, likewise. So the catch in this incident or the story is, when I recognize whom am I dealing with, I can relate to Him better, and I can worship Him better. There is no salvation except for those who believe in not just the presence of God, and He is the Creator. This is not a question. I don't think a reasonable person especially when we go to schools and we study science and math and all of that. You know, may I cut this little plant right here? I studied, besides pharmacology, some subject that's called pharmacognosy. And Chinese are the best in this field. Pharmacognosy is relating to the medicinal plants and how to extract the active ingredients from regular plants. There are plants which have cure for amazing disease, even for cancer, without chemicals, from plants, which now they open about 4 or 5 schools in America called homeopathy. If you graduate from there, you get an MD degree. Based on studying the anatomy of the plants, and how to extract the active ingredients, and how to put it in the proper form or shape in order to be useful in the proper dose for the treatment of certain diseases. So I studied that as well. When we take a plant like that, and we cut a T-section, then we add substances in order to decolorize the green color, because it makes it very opaque. So when it is transparent, when we look at it, it is less than 1 millimeter in its size. Wallahi, when we look at it under the microscope and I start drawing and painting what I see, oh my God, my mind sometimes would go crazy. There is a whole world under the microscope that I can see. There are moving things in this piece of plant. Subhanallah, and the Creator is fully aware of all of that. And in every plant that has some distinguishing features or substances that does not exist in others. And that's why they used to give us in the final the following. They will get a bouquet like that and they will put it in a blender. And it will be blended together and crushed into powder. Then they give everyone a sack of some powder and they say, can you tell me the contents of this powder? And through studying the diagnostic ingredients of each plant, we'll start counting and say, yes, the powder contains this and this and this and that. In a very simple thing in our hands. What about this universe? The Earth planet is like a drop in an ocean. The Earth planet is a drop in an ocean compared to the sun. And the sun compared to other billions of planets and galaxies, like a drop in an ocean. And the entire universe compared to the throne of God is like a drop in an ocean. By the end, we cannot but say, there is no God, but only one God who is worthy of all worship and gratitude. Praise be to Him. May God guide us to what's best. May God forgive us our sins. May God show us the straight path and keep us firm and steadfast on it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا. الله أكبر الله أكبر. Shut up.